I don't resent you, Leland. If anything, maybe I resent myself.
For staying with a man who doesn't love you.
I really don't want to talk about it.
Oh, my God!
Welcome to the Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show, the podcast that has no time for your Mank puns this week. I'm your host, Taylor Cole, and with me today are Alan Heisenberg Seppenwall.
I am the one who's going to knock you out of this game.
Heather Bleep Cox.
Your piddling sensors can't contain me.
And Jeff Unsullied Kanata.
You're all about to be stupider by watching me not know stuff.
Hello to everyone, and thank you for being here for our Season 2 Battle of the Podcasts. We're entering the playoffs this week, where we'll determine which of our three returning winners from their round ones will win the Joy Luck Division and advance on to the season finals. Helping us to do that today will be our resident quiz keeper and score master, Dan Cassino. Hi, Dan.
Hi there, Taylor. This is actually a big week for me, because as of this week, I have enough episodes under my belt to join the Scorekeepers Guild. And it's still being run by guys who made their bones on crooked 50s game shows and win Ben Stein's money, but I really need that scorekeeping liability insurance.
Well, thank you, Dan. And also with us today, working the boards, is production master Dave. Hi, Dave.
Given our various states of post-inebriation, I will waste no time in welcoming each and almost every one of you to our mandated annual workplace safety evaluation.
Well, I guess I'm keeping my hard hat on for this episode, which we're going to start off with a round of My Champion. That's the game where each of our contestants has chosen a champion from the world of pop culture, but we get to choose the battle that those champions are fighting. Rolling Stone's Alan Seppenwall, who is your champion today?
My champion is Nora Durst, as played by the great Carrie Coon on The Leftovers.
From GoFugYourself.com, Heather Cox, who have you chosen as your champion?
I have chosen the one and only Dr. Miranda Bailey from Grey's Anatomy.
And from the Slash Film cast, Jeff Kanata, who are you championing?
I have selected the titular character from Ted Lasso.
All right, champions are locked in. Scoremaster Dan will serve as our judge today, so I guess we should spin that scenario wheel. Today's scenario, why would your champion be the best at getting some delicious honey from a beehive?
I was hoping it would be surgery, but okay.
Alan, why would Nora Durst be great at getting honey from a beehive?
Because Nora does not fear pain. Nora has already suffered the greatest possible pain a human can imagine when her husband and two small children vanished while her back was turned during the sudden departure. So Nora has been shot at by prostitutes. She has attempted to jump to other dimensions. She's done all sorts of crazy stuff, and she does not fear being hurt. So she's just going to plunge her arm right into that beehive, and no matter how much she gets stung, she's going to come out with some golden delicious honey.
Dark.
Thank you, Alan. And Heather, how about Dr. Miranda Bailey?
Well, Dr. Bailey may be adept with a scalpel, but her words are her most powerful blade, and so she would simply march right up to that beehive, put her hands on her hips, and explain to them in absolutely no uncertain terms why they're going to do exactly what she says, because she is Dr. Miranda Bailey, and she gets what she needs. This is a woman who gave birth while her husband's brain was open on an operating table, and someone else had a bomb in their insides in the nearby OR. So she knows how to get what she wants without even having to reach into the beehive. She would simply hold out her hand and the bees would place the honey in it without harming her and scuttle back inside.
Thank you, Heather. And Jeff, make the case for Ted Lasso.
Ted Lasso is a motivator. It's what he does. And he's used to hurting unpredictable, wild, fast groups of workers into one cohesive unit. He's also the sweetest guy. You've heard the phrase, nothing attracts flies like honey. Nothing attracts honey like honey. Sweetness gets sweetness. The guy is positive. He's motivating. He is going to rally those bees to the point where they are delighted to give up their honey to win the championship.
All right, excellent arguments all around. I have no idea how this is going to shake out. Dan, who is going to be our winner?
Well, I appreciated all the arguments. I think Alan made a great case for Nora, saying she doesn't feel pain. So that could be a virtue in trying to get honey. I think Ted Lasso also, I think he'd actually be great at organizing the bees to make more honey. I actually suspect he wouldn't want to take their honey away from them because he is such a nice guy. I think our winner today is actually going to be Heather. I think Dr. Miranda Bailey, because she is just so intimidating, she is just a block of a person who can make anybody do whatever she wants them to do. She showed in those early seasons how good she is at that. Our winner today is Heather and Dr. Miranda Bailey.
Thank you. You get 10% off your next heart surgery.
Congratulations, Heather. You have won my champion, which means you'll not only go first in round one, but it means you get a crack at the half point. A half point is an extra half a point added to your stable that might break a tie before it even happens. Here is your half point question. The day this episode comes out is National Winnie the Pooh Day. In the 2011 theatrically released film Winnie the Pooh, Peter Cullen, the longtime voice of this character, was replaced because he was too busy voicing Optimus Prime.
Well, I mean, I feel like a compelling answer would be Winnie the Pooh, but I'm going to go a different direction, and I'm going to say, I can't remember if this character speaks. I'm going to go with Eeyore. Oh!
Yay!
Eeyore. Thanks for noticing. Nice answer.
Yay.
Can I do my Peter Cullen impression?
Oh, please do.
I demand it.
Autobots, roll out!
That is such a niche and delightful thing you can do.
Well, Heather, you've won the half point, and you're going first in round one, today entitled OSHA the Watcher. From his home in the blue area of the moon, OSHA the Watcher keeps tabs on workplace safety violations from across films and television. In this game, I'll read you a description of one of the workplace safety violations that OSHA has noticed, and you have to identify the movie or TV show it came from. For instance, if OSHA said, I don't care what kind of organization you're part of, an RV doesn't have sufficient ventilation to allow for the mixing of noxious chemicals, you'd know that he'd seen a violation in...
Breaking Bad!
You know, I actually wrote a book about Breaking Bad that's still available for purchase right now. Breaking Bad 101, the complete critical companion with your guide to every single episode the next time you're doing a rewatch.
Thank you, Alan. A correct answer in this game will get you 10 points. If you need a hint, I'll give you a little more information about the show or movie, but then the correct answer is only worth 5 points. Heather is the winner of My Champion. You'll lead off this round. Your first pop culture OSHA violation is... Regulations require that hallways be at least wide enough for two workers to pass by each other easily, and given how narrow the halls are and how quickly everyone is walking and talking in these basement hallways, I don't think that's possible.
Okay. There's two workers. Everyone's walking and talking in these basement hallways. It's got to be one of those major PETA conferencing shows. But it's the basement word that is tripping me up. I'm gonna go for whatever the hint is that you have so I can maybe get some points instead of getting it totally wrong.
A 1999 TV drama.
Is it The West Wing? Okay, I should have just guessed it. Oh, well.
Jeff, normally the Department of Energy would be dealing with the lapses at a power plant like this one, but the lack of effective safety supervisors, plus the proximity of glowing green radioactive waste to the donuts in the break room, mean that I have to get involved.
The Simpsons.
For 10 points, The Simpsons. And over to Alan. It's fine to have a warehouse operation attached to the sales office, but workers from the sales office must not be allowed to just wander around the warehouse floor without safety equipment. There are reams and reams of product that could fall down at any time.
I'm going to guess that that is The American Office.
Yes, for 10 points. Back to Heather. Modern safety equipment means that there's no way for someone to actually fall down an empty shaft, so the whole system in the high-rise needs to be thoroughly inspected to ensure that a tragedy like this doesn't happen again. As always, it seems like the California Elevator Inspection Team is asleep at the wheel.
This refers to the audio clip we heard of Rosalind Shays taking a header yes. down the elevator shaft on LA Law.
Absolutely.
I feel so wrong laughing at that, and yet.
You're supposed to laugh at it.
I thought so.
Over to Jeff. Given the time period, it's harder to ding them for the constant sexual harassment or drinking on the job, but I have to draw the line at driving a lawnmower around the office. Somebody could lose a foot.
Driving a lawnmower around the office, eh? Time period. I'm going to need a hint on this one.
A 2007 TV drama.
Ooh, not my strong suit. 2007 TV drama with a lawnmower around the office. I have absolutely no idea. I got nothing.
Alan, do you know this one?
That is from one of the great episode titles of all time. Guy walks into an advertising agency for Mad Men.
Yes, Mad Men.
You know somebody doesn't watch a show when they don't understand the foot lawnmower reference.
Yeah, not somebody that watched Mad Men, but that's on me.
All right, Alan, next one's for you. I'm not as familiar with EU workplace safety laws, but operating printing presses while wearing a Salvador Dali mask is definitely a violation.
Salvador Dali mask? I don't think I know this. I'm going to have to take the hint.
A 2017 Spanish crime series.
Oh, I've not watched this, but I'm going to guess that it's Money Heist?
Wow.
For 5 points, Money Heist. Nice pull. Back to Heather. Offices are allowed to keep irrelevant files in a basement with insufficient exits, but even the federal government can't require a worker to stay in an unventilated basement office with only one clear exit path, to say nothing of all the pencils stuck in the ceiling.
Oh, man. I can picture, this is going to be one of those ones I'm going to kick myself for not getting, I think. Can you, okay, I have a guess, but I'm going to go for the hint anyway, just in case.
A 1993 sci-fi TV series.
Oh, wow. My guess would not have been even remotely correct.
What was the guess?
No.
Yes.
The guess is now going to be... is it going to be? No. Is it The X-Files?
Okay. Yes, it is.
Nice guess.
The guess for like a hot second was going to be Veep.
Oh.
I don't know. I was like, they might have had somebody. It felt true that someone would have been stuck in a
something
basement.
They do to Jonah at one point or another,
right?
Over his rise and fall.
Spiritually,
absolutely.
Felt accurate.
All right, for Jeff, helicopter landing pads on the tops of healthcare facilities are a necessary evil, but nets and other safety mechanisms are needed to make them OSHA compliant. In their absence, a helicopter could potentially squish somebody on the street below.
I do not know. I will take the hint, please.
A 1994 TV medical drama.
Is it Grey's Anatomy? I don't know.
That's going to be ER. A legendary moment from ER.
Right, legendary.
Two legendary moments. Rocket Romano is attacked by multiple helicopters and eventually killed.
Right.
I'm in big trouble this episode.
And over to Alan. Open vats may be needed in a chemical factory, but catwalks should be designed to ensure that no one just falls into them. Why, if someone were punched by a vigilante who can't turn his head, they could fall into a vat and be horribly disfigured.
Okay, I mean, I know that we're talking about the Joker here in Batman. There's a lot of different Batman shows. I could ask for the hint and it'll tell me, but what the hell, you only live once. I'm going to say Batman the Animated Series.
I'll accept any Batman for that one.
Wow.
Any iteration of Batman, movie or TV in this game, so we'll take
good.
It.
Okay.
And that'll lead us right into our first score update from Scoremaster Dan.
Most of the way through round one, Jeff has just 10 points, Heather has 20 points and the half point, Alan is in the lead with 25, but still very much anyone's game.
All right, circling back to Heather. The jukebox obviously has an electrical short, and Al can't reasonably ask servers to work in the diner until it's fixed and no longer poses an electrocution hazard.
All right. Have a couple ideas for that one. I'm the opposite of Alan here. I'm gonna just go for the hint and rack up my 5 points if I can.
1974 sitcom.
Okay, I'm gonna go Happy Days.
Hey,
wow.
Yes.
Good job.
All right, for Jeff.
I'm doomed.
It's okay. I almost guessed Saved by the Bell because I couldn't remember who ran the diner in that one. So, again, very large chasm between my two guesses.
For Jeff, wearing excessive amounts of flair in a food service establishment is a clear violation of health and safety rules. It could easily fall off into someone's garish cocktail or in their fried whatever it is.
What movie is that? I can see it in my head. I think isn't it Jennifer Aniston who's wearing the flair? I do not know the movie. You'll have to give me a hint, but it's not going to help me because you're just going to tell me the year. Turns out I'm terrible at this. Yeah, I'll take the hint.
A 1999 comedy film.
Yeah. No help.
Is it Office Space?
Yeah!
There you go. Nice.
Right. You're good at this game, Jeff. You're good.
Over for Alan. It is unacceptable to have elevators that can be stopped between floors just because the doctors want to make out or pass post-it notes to each other. Reduced response times could kill patients, even ignoring the hygienic issues.
Stopping elevators between floors to make out. I mean, that could also be Grey's Anatomy. I'm going to take the hint here.
A 2005 TV medical drama.
Yeah, no, that's Grey's Anatomy.
Correct for 5 points. Coming into everyone's last OSHA violation, for Heather, having people remove their shoes in an eating establishment isn't great from a health code perspective. We don't want any funguses to end up in the $5 shakes, but having them go on a potentially slippery dance floor in just their socks is a clear violation.
Okay. Gosh, none of that sounds appealing. I'm going to go for the hint again, you guys.
A 1994 crime movie.
Oh, Pulp Fiction.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yes, at Jack Rabbit Slim's Pulp Fiction.
Isn't it crazy that every shake is $5 now? Every shake is $5.
The cheap ones are $5 now.
Yeah.
All right, for Jeff, it's perfectly acceptable to have domestic workers live in a segregated portion of the residence, but they must have proper ventilation and windows. It can't be a bunker. Somebody could be in there for months or years without anyone noticing.
Is this Kimmy Schmidt?
No, it is not. This is from the 2019 Best Picture winner, Parasite. The bunker.
Oh, I was going to say Kimmy Schmidt, too.
Yeah, that was a good guess.
And for Alan, closing out the round, even in the 1980s, shopping malls weren't allowed to operate if there's a potentially dangerous interdimensional portal underneath them. To make matters worse, all the signage is in Russian.
All right, so that's going to be the third season of Stranger Things.
Yes, and with a strong ending for Alan, that'll close out round one. Up next, a score update from Dan and on to round two of Pop Culture Trivia.
Hi, it's Alan Sepinwall, and I'm so excited to finally be able to talk about my new podcast, Too Long Didn't Watch. In every episode, I sit down with a celebrity guest to show them the very first episode of a show they've never seen before, and then the very last episode of that show. Then they have to figure out what the heck happened in between. Will Jon Hamm be able to predict the true identity of Gossip Girl? Can Alison Brie figure out what Jon Snow's deal is on Game of Thrones? And which of the two Veronica Mars finales should we show Kumail Nanjiani anyway? Too Long Didn't Watch is now available on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get great podcasts like the Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show.
After one round of play, it's time for the procrastination score break. Procrastination, because you should never put off for tomorrow that which you can probably get out of doing entirely. At this point, Alan is in the lead with 40 points, Heather has 30 points and the half point, and Jeff is in third place with 15, but that means he'll get to go first in round two.
Thank you, Dan, but still a ton of game to go and a little extra help coming to Jeff. It's the Threequalizer. Jeff, you've got a quick chance to make up some of that ground with a Threequalizer question. I'll give you a question that has exactly three answers, and you'll have three guesses to match as many of those answers as possible, with 10 points to you for each answer you match. Your Threequalizer question is, in the more than 50 years since it began, the American Top 40 radio countdown has had just three regular hosts. Who are they?
Casey Kasem. What's his name? The dude, I can see him in my head. you, American Idol host guy. I guess I'll have to use a hint.
There's no hints.
Sorry, no hints on the threequelizer.
I don't know his name. His name is a word.
Deadpool.
Followed by another one.
He's blonde. He's got a production company that does lots of shows.
The other two you're looking for are from 88 to 95 was Shadow Stevens, and from 2004 to the present is Ryan Seacrest.
Yeah.
But still 10 points for Casey Kasem.
You guys want to hear my Casey Kasem impression? I'm just kidding.
And with that, there's no better way to get to know someone than learning more about their personal tastes in the world of pop culture. Alan, as a TV critic, what is your most controversial or unpopular opinion from the world of television?
I would say right now it's the fact that I'm not really much of a fan of Succession on HBO. That's one where I started. I watched the first few episodes, didn't think it was for me. Then the rest of the critical, you know, cognoscenti kept insisting, no, this is the greatest show ever. You have to keep going. If you get to episode 6, you're going to love it. I got to episode 6, still didn't love it. They're like, no, you have to get to episode 7, then you're going to love it. I swear, I got there. Still no, you just have to get to the season 1 finale. You're going to love it. Still no. Now I have a couple people saying, no, it's really the show goes to another level in season 2. I put that on my quarantine to-do list, but so far we have not run out of other shows to watch. So maybe one day I will find out if Succession is for me, but I feel like I've given it a whole bunch of chances already.
It's very comforting to me, though, that finally Alan got something wrong in this show.
Thank you, Alan. And Heather Cox, you've got a TV show that you think is in need of a video game adaptation.
Yeah, I mean, I think we can all agree that Love Island would be incredibly well served by some sort of cooperative venture on like the Nintendo Switch. It almost really speaks for itself. You know, it's kind of one part The Sims, like a little bit of a soap opera, a role-playing game without any of the like punching violence you get from a Grand Theft Auto. I don't know. I just sort of feel like imagining, you know, the having to make the decisions they have to make and then having to play through some of those challenges. Like, how good are you really at making your video game character chew up food and then spit it into the mouth of your partner? There's a lot of really important eye-hand coordination that can be taught. So, let's get on this, please, CBS.
Awesome. Thank you, Heather. And Jeff Cannata, in this time where theatrical movie going is pretty much non-existent for most people, we're asking folks about their favorite theatrical movie going experience. What was yours?
Well, the first one that came to mind was going to see Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade with my dad. We went to one of those old time single screen movie palaces near where I grew up. It was, you know, gilded and ornate, the old timey movie theaters. It actually doesn't even exist anymore, this theater. But when we went in 1980, blah, 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 whatever it was, I think it was for Father's Day that we went. I went, just my dad and me, and it's a movie about fathers and sons. It will always be one of the most special moments of my life.
Thank you, Jeff. And with that, we're going to get right into round 2, which today is entitled Guest. In TV shows and movies over the years, Scooby-Doo has featured a lot of unexpected guest stars. That's why we're asking you about Casey Kasem earlier. So in this game, we'll play you a clip of an iconic figure who showed up on a Scooby-Doo movie or TV episode, and you have to name the guest star. So for instance, if I played you this clip...
Holy sidewalks! It's Shaggy and Scooby! Like high crusaders, I've been guarding the yard!
Yeah, me too!
Good work, troops. Who's in the lab?
You'd know that the guest stars there were...
Batman and Robin.
It's so weird to hear Casey Kasem repeat, like, doing two characters in the same scene.
What a lazy guest star that is. It's like, well, he's here already. We could just have him do the other...
That knowing that answer would get you 30 points. Now, if you're not sure, I can tell you about how the Scooby Gang ran into the guest star, after which an answer is worth 20 points. And if you want a second hint, I can tell you what the guest is best known for, after which point an answer is only worth 10. Note, though, that you only get one guess, and the game does not include any of the times that Scooby and the gang have shown up on other shows, like that time they were on Supernatural. Jeff, this first Scooby-Doo guest star clip is for you.
Okay, guys, I think we lost him. Now, Scooby, are you ready to help me practice my animal hypnosis skills?
Excuse me, shouldn't we quit? That crazy nightmare ghost is out there. And, like, personally, I'm terrified.
If there's one thing I do not do, it's quit. I need to keep studying for my final. I need to practice my hypnosis techniques.
I believe that's Whoopi Goldberg.
Excellent.
Yes, for 30 points, Whoopi Goldberg. Up for Heather.
It ought to be as plain as the nose on your face. Well, hey, nothing personal, dearest. I love your little old big nose.
Okay. Wow, this is just falling right into the giant sucking void of my pop culture empty spot. Let's go for a hint.
Scooby and the gang meet this duo, who had a CBS variety show at the time, when they're stranded on Shark Island during their second honeymoon.
Oh.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Okay, everyone knows this but me. They meet this duo when they're stranded on Shark Island during their second honeymoon. I'm going to go... I don't know. I'm going to go one more hint.
Best known for I've Got You, Babe.
Oh. Wow, I never would have gotten that without the hints. Sonny and Cher.
Sonny and Cher for 10 points.
That big nose thing is mean, man.
But he would do that. Like, that was one of the running gags, was she would make fun of him for being short, and he would make fun of her for having a big nose.
Okay. I guess in my defense, I don't see Cher's nose that way, so I'm too nice.
All right, Heather is a hero, and we'll move on to Alan.
Thank you. I'm glad someone said it. Thank you.
Identifying potential is what I do, and you have got it. Fred, you're the tank, the muscle.
Cool.
Daphne is the people person, the empath.
Aw.
And Velma's got the smarts and technical savvy.
Thanks.
But you two aren't even listening. You're eating a clownishly oversized sandwich.
Okay, like, there was a couple seconds here and there where I felt like I could recognize which British celebrity it was, but I don't have it. I'm going to need the hint number one, please.
This reality competition judge seems to be helping fund Mystery Inc., but he's not quite what he appears to be.
All right, I thought it might be him, and I hope I'm right. Is it Gordon Ramsay?
Not quite. Jeff?
Well... I put my hand up because I know it's from the dude from American Idol, but now I can't remember his name either.
Oh, it was Simon.
Simon Cowell. Yeah.
You got a real American Idol blind spot, Jeff.
You know, it's only because I've never watched a single episode of American Idol. That's all.
Oh. Coming back to Jeff for your next Scooby-Doo guest star clip.
How'd you know where we were?
Daphne texted me.
Naturally.
What's going on?
Hillbilly hospitality. We should keep moving.
Come on, I'll explain on the way.
Hillbilly hospitality. I'll take the first hint, please.
This Nickelodeon game show host slash athletic entertainer shows up with a number of his cohorts, including The Undertaker.
It's John Cena.
Yes, correct. And over to Heather. This one's for you.
The monster is on a bearing of 037 mark 270.
If it reaches Earth's atmosphere, it'll burn up on re-entry.
Okay. Might as well continue being a giant baby and get a hint, because I have needed a hint for every single one of them.
The gang helps this heir to Carl Sagan take care of an infestation on a space station.
Heir to Carl Sagan. Okay. I mean, I have a guess. Is it... All right, I'm going to guess without taking the second hint, even if this is insane. Gene Roddenberry.
No, that is Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Oh, I was thinking Cosmos. It's a sci-fi author. Oh, whatever. I don't know why I thought it would have been him. All right. Okay, Neil. Okay, Neil. That's how you want it.
Over to Alan for the next clip.
Gesundheit. You did it, Scooby. Why, you found the secret passage.
Okay, both of those voices sound familiar, but I can't place them. I need a hint.
this classic comedic duo was dead, so the show used sound-alikes, but didn't update their very dated wardrobe.
Oh, it's Abbott and Costello. No!
Laurel and Hardy is the duo.
Ah!
Laurel and Hardy.
That's a tough one.
Man.
Back to Jeff. This next clip's for you.
You can cook just about anything.
Well, I wouldn't say that.
Lamb chops?
Well, yes, I can cook lamb chops.
Herb crusted?
Yeah, I can do herb crusted.
It's a person who cooks things, so I'm guessing a celebrity chef of some kind. But it doesn't sound like any of the celebrity chefs that I've ever heard before. I guess I'll take a hint.
This Food Network personality turns out to be Fred's uncle, though Fred had no idea he was famous.
Fred's uncle. So I'm guessing it looks a little like Fred? Oh, Food Network personalities is not my area of expertise either. Might as well take one more hint.
He's best known for being so disliked that there are multiple shows about people just wanting to take him down a notch.
Is it Gordon Ramsay? I thought he would have a British accent. Yeah, I don't know.
Heather knows this one.
I do. It's Bobby Flay.
Oh, Bobby Flay.
Bobby Flay. All right, Heather, this next clip is for you.
You don't seem bothered that the museum director wants revenge.
Yeah, lots of people want revenge on me. Like that security guard over there.
So I knew Bobby Flay, but I don't know this one. Okay, let's see. Lots of people want revenge on me. I mean, sure, I'm gonna take the hint.
The gang has to help this sitcom character deal with some of his robot duplicates going haywire.
Oh.
I'm gonna go again, just flying by the seat of my pants. Is it Urkel?
Wow.
Steve Urkel, as voiced by Jaleel White, but appearing as Urkel on Scooby-Doo.
I was going to say, it didn't actually sound... It sounded like they hired a Jaleel White impersonator. Not his finest work. Sorry, ooh. Jaleel.
And next one is for Alan.
Two candy apples coming up. How do you like them apples?
They look pretty sour to me.
Oh, the candy apple connected to the chocolate syrup... And the chocolate connected to the marshmallow topping. And the marshmallow connected to the cherry drop.
I have no idea whatsoever. This game is my kryptonite, and I thought I knew Scooby-Doo. I'll take a hint, please.
In an incredibly mean turn, this folk singer is shown to have a bigger appetite than Shaggy and Scooby.
Oh, I think I know, but, like, I've gone twice now where I guessed after the first hint and got it wrong, so I'm going to take the second hint to be sure.
Best known for being the contralto lead singer of a folk rock group.
Yeah, that's Mama Cass.
Wow, good job.
That is mean, also.
Oof.
And that'll take us into a score update from Scoremaster Dan.
Absolutely, three-fifths of the way through round two, Alan is now in third place with just 50 points. Heather has 60 points and the half point, and Jeff is in the lead with 75.
That can't be right. It cannot be right.
You've just been rope-a-doping us this whole time, Jeff.
Clearly an error on the scorekeeper's part.
Oh, we gave you 20 extra points for the Optimus Prime impression. I forgot to
mention. Oh, sweet. That's how I squeak by.
You should have done your Casey Kasem.
All right, Jeff, here's your next clip.
Just a quick FYI, I'm not sure I approve of opening strange sarcophagi, you know, curses. I mean, not without a note from its mummy. See what I did there? They're loving it.
I think I have some sort of brain problem because I know exactly who that is, and my brain decides not to give me his name. Ricky Gervais.
Yeah. Yep.
Very nice for 30 points. Over to Heather, see if you can guess the group in this clip.
Hold on, Shaggy. We can't run out like this.
Don't you want to see Wednesday again?
You bet, and I want to live to see Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
But you must stay and help find my granddaughter.
Don't worry, Granny. We'll help you find her if it's the last thing we do.
I mean, I had a guess, but I don't know what to say for it. So I'm going to just take the hint.
It's a more of a collective than an
individual. My guess is, I mean, I have a guess. I'm just going to do it, you guys. I'm going to seize the day.
Do it. Live for the moment.
Go home.
The Addams Family.
Hey, yeah. 30 points.
That was where I was going, but I was like, who's the old lady? Is there an old lady on the Addams
Family? Yeah, there's a grandmama.
Okay.
Is there grandmama in the Addams Family? I do not remember that character, but I guess so.
I guess I don't think that she's in the movies, the Bear Sonnenfeld movie, so that's why she's not as memorable.
Oh, okay. Diabolical, you guys.
All right, over to Alan.
Like what Scoob said.
Frankly, I have no idea what Scooby-Doo just said.
Doombringer Ghost Knight.
Coming this way. Easy for you to understand. He's your dog. Oh, the Ghost Knight.
All right. It started to sound familiar right at the end, but I think I need a hint. I'm just getting destroyed here.
The gang helps this actor and social media giant fend off a sword-wielding ghost.
Yep. Okay, that's George Takei.
Star Trek's George Takei.
George Takei. One of the only other impressions I do. It's crazy. You guys are just doing all my people.
Oh, my.
All right, Jeff, here is your last Scooby-Doo guest star clip.
Very funny. I've been thinking we're getting no ass fast.
Hey, maybe we can use that air vent.
That's too small for us. She doesn't mean for us to crawl through it.
That vent leads up to the ground above, and if we yell through it, someone might hear us.
Oh, man. I'm going to talk this out without saying my final answer yet. I want to say the Three Stooges, but I also think it could be Abbott and Costello because there's only two voices. Gosh, I'm tempted to take the hint, but I want the points. I'm going to go with the Three Stooges.
Nice.
Oh, 30.
Jeff is crushing this. Love. Whoa.
All right, Heather, this next one is for you.
So this is what you kids do? Hide behind fountains and wait for monsters?
Like, pretty much. But we hide behind all kinds of stuff. Haystacks, park benches.
Cars, telephone poles.
Each other.
Yeah, we're excellent hiders, yeah.
I just bet you are, Scooby-Doo.
Okay, I believe that is famous sufferer of space dementia, Steve Buscemi.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Well done.
Thank you.
And last up is for Alan.
Not only are there no customers, there's no show.
The strong man will make his appearance momentarily. He is flexing his powerful muscles. He is preparing his superhuman body. He is trying to get his zipper up.
All right. I have to go for the points because I'm just getting destroyed here. This is probably wrong, but is that Dick Van Dyke?
Yeah.
Hey. Oh, nice.
Finally.
A strong finish for everyone in round two. Next up, one more score update from Dan, and on to the final round. Before we arrive at our final round, it's time for the home version. Correctly guess the answer to Dan's riddle by the time next week's episode drops, and you can win fabulous prizes like the rights to name a score break. Dan?
I'm not a boy, though I have a cowboy voice. Funded by Studebaker, though that wasn't my choice. I don't eat peanut butter. The truth was classified knowledge. And my show ended when I went to college.
Think you know the answer to that? Check the link in your show notes for a place to submit it and show off all that pop culture knowledge. Thanks for the riddle, Dan. So how about a score update?
Absolutely. It's time for the Filmography of Troy McClure score break. This score break is brought to you by such films as P is for Psycho and The President's Neck is Missing. After two rounds of play, Jeff is in the lead with 135 points, Heather has 120 points and the half point, Alan is in third place with just 100 points. That means he'll get to go first in round three, and he'll need to get four questions correct to move into first.
Thanks for the update, Dan. Those standings, however, are not yet final, because it's time for everyone's last opportunity to score some big points. It's the lightning round. Players have their choice of categories and are given 90 seconds to answer as many questions in that category as possible. They'll earn 10 points for each correct answer they can provide. Today's categories are Defeating Hydra, Bunhead, Nick Jr., and The Birth of Brangelina. Now, while the names of those topics might be a little bit mysterious, do your best to choose something you're going to do well on, or you might want to try to keep something easy away from a fellow player. Alan, in third place, you get to choose first. Which of the four categories would you like? Once again, they are Defeating Hydra, Bunhead, Nick Jr., and The Birth of Brangelina.
All right. I'm thinking defeating Hydra could be about Greek mythology or it could be about Marvel Comics. I'm really hoping it's about Marvel Comics. Defeating Hydra. Let's do it.
I sad to say, Alan, in Greek mythology, who defeated the Hydra? But it's Hercules. So we'll be asking you about appearances of and references to the mythological hero Hercules in popular culture.
All right. My son reads the Percy Jackson books. Maybe I picked some stuff up by osmosis. Let's find out.
All right. 90 seconds on the clock. The time begins when I finish reading the first question. Alan, are you ready?
Why not?
A disguised Eddie Murphy chants Hercules, Hercules in this sequel.
The Nutty Professor? The Clumps.
This SVU actress's parents worked together on 1960's The Loves of Hercules.
Mariska Hargitay.
This wrestling star of the 80s and 90s played Zeus in 2009's Little Hercules.
Hulk Hogan?
In Rocky Horror, Frank N. Furter croons about the films of this Hercules actor.
Pass.
This puppet-based show mocked several Herc movies, notably Hercules Unchained in 1992.
Mystery Science Theater 3000.
This Argo and Damages actor voiced the Disney version of Hercules.
Tate Donovan.
This long-running series spun off from a story arc on Hercules' The Legendary Journeys.
Xena Warrior Princess.
This Marvel hero first fought Hercules in a 1966 issue titled Whom the Gods Would Destroy.
Thor.
He had the title role in 1970's Hercules in New York.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
When this pop legend changed his name from Reginald Dwight, he gave himself the middle name Hercules.
Pass.
This long kiss goodnight director helmed 2014's The Legend of Hercules.
Rennie Harlan.
Legendary comic artist Alex Toth designed this 1967 prehistoric sci-fi mashup for Hanna-Barbera.
Pass.
And that'll do it. Wow. All right, Dan, let's get the Allen report.
Wow.
Allen had a great round. Let's first go through the passes. Frankenfurter croons about some Steve Reeves movies Rocky Horror. Elton John gave himself the middle name Hercules when he changed his name. And the Alex Toth designed prehistoric sci-fi mashup was the Herculoids.
Oh, yeah.
Still, Alan got 9 questions correct. A very impressive round. He now has 190 points. That means Heather, because she has the half point, is going to need to get 7 questions correct in order to move into first.
That's a lot of pressure.
Guys, right. The first line in the movie Rocket Man is Taron Egerton looking straight into the camera saying, "My name is Elton Hercules John." All right, Heather, your remaining category choices are Bunhead, Nick Jr., and The Birth of Brangelina.
I'm going to go with The Birth of Brangelina. I'm wondering if it's something to do with celebrity portmanteaus.
It does involve the celebrity portmanteau Brangelina, which is, of course, the couple name for Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie, who first got together while filming the 2005 movie Mr. and Mrs. Smith. So this round is about the pop culture happenings of the year 2005.
Oof, woof, okay.
90 seconds on the clock. Heather, are you ready?
Bring it.
This hyperlinked Paul Haggis movie will go on to win Best Picture.
Crash.
The BBC revives this classic sci-fi show with Christopher Eccleston in the lead role.
Doctor Who?
3 years after the previous installment, he officially retires from the role of James Bond.
Pierce Brosnan.
Ted Mosby starts telling his kids this title story and won't finish for 9 years.
How I Met Your Mother.
After 25 years, he resigns as the host of Nightline.
Ted Koppel.
Food Network debuts the American version of this Japanese culinary battle competition show.
Iron Chef.
This singer's The Emancipation of Mimi is the year's top-selling album.
Mariah Carey.
She has her first big hit as a creator and producer with the debut of Grey's Anatomy.
Shonda Rhimes.
Martin Freeman stars in this big-budget movie version of a British series of comical sci-fi novels.
It's pass. I know it. I can't think of it.
Will Smith teaches this King of Queens star about romance in Hitch.
Kevin James.
The ending of Fever Pitch is rewritten due to this team winning the World Series the previous fall.
Boston Red Sox.
Ice Cube takes over for Vin Diesel in the sequel to this movie.
Mission Impossible.
Triple X. Roger Ebert tells this Deuce Bigelow actor, "I have won the Pulitzer Prize. Your movie sucks."
You said Vin Diesel, and I heard Ving Rhames. I don't know why.
Of course, Rob Schneider on the last question.
Wow.
All right, Dan, give us the Heather report.
Wow.
Absolutely. Heather had just one pass. The big budget movie version of a British series of comical sci-fi novels was The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
It was
Remember
right
your
there.
Towel. Heather, aside from that, needed to get 7 questions to move into first place. She had 10 correct. She has 220 points and the half point.
Wow.
That means that Jeff has a tall order in front of him. He's going to need to get 9 questions correct if he wants to move back into first.
Not possible.
All right, Jeff, your final 2 category options are Bunhead and Nick Jr.
I have learned that it is impossible to predict what those mean at all. So I'm going to go with Bunhead, because why not? That sounds goofy.
If you had to take a guess, what would you think it would be about?
Bunhead? I'm terrified that it's like women and things that wear buns on their, you know, the hairstyle bun.
Not quite, though. In Star Wars, it was Carrie Fisher who had a hairstyle that people think looks like cinnamon buns. So we'll be asking you questions about the life and career of Carrie Fisher.
Well, I've lost.
All right, Jeff, 90 seconds on the clock. Are you ready?
Nope.
She voiced Angela on 25 episodes of this Fox animated sitcom.
Pass.
Fisher did script doctor duties on many films, including this 1993 Schwarzenegger flop.
Last Action Hero.
She is a guest star on The Convention Conundrum, a 2014 episode of this CBS sitcom.
Pass.
She performed A Day to Celebrate toward the end of this misbegotten TV special.
Pass.
She's the daughter of Eddie Fisher and this Singin' in the Rain actress.
Yep, pass.
1989's The Burbs was helmed by this Gremlins director.
Joe Carnahan.
Joe Dante. She's one of the title character's best friends in this 1989 Rob Reiner flick.
When Harry Met Sally.
She's idolized in the song A New Hope by this pop punk band.
Blink 182.
She's an angry ex-fiance in this SNL movie.
Coneheads.
The Blues Brothers. This Cleopatra actress was among her several step-parents.
Elizabeth Taylor.
Fisher was April, and she was Hannah in Hannah and Her Sisters.
Oh, she was Hannah. Mia Farrow.
Correct, but after the buzzer on Mia Farrow. All right, Dan, let's hear the Jeff report.
Absolutely. You guys can get a drink. This will be a little while. So, Carrie Fisher voiced Angela on Family Guy. She guest starred on The Convention Conundrum, which was a 2014 episode of The Big Bang Theory. I'm especially upset you didn't remember her just breathtaking performance of A Day to Celebrate towards the end of the Star Wars Holiday Special. Her mother, as you know, of course, was Debbie Reynolds. So that means Jeff got 4 questions correct, giving us our final standings. Jeff has 175 points. Alan has 190. And our winner, with 220 points and a half point, it's Heather!
Well done.
Amazing.
Stop Heather.
Very impressive. We're not worthy.
Congratulations, Heather, but that does mean it is time to say goodbye to Jeff and Alan. Guys, thank you so much for being here at the super fun game. Can't say enough about how much of a good time we all had. But Jeff, where can we find you out in the world so that our listeners can hear even more of you?
Even more. I'm sure that that's what they're clamoring for. You can find me on Twitter. I'm at Jeff Cannata. I do a bunch of shows, but probably the most likely to be of interest to people listening is the Slash Filmcast, where we review movies and video games or movies and TV shows. And my video game show, DLC, You can find those at /filmcast.com and 5by5.tv/DLC.
Thank you, Jeff. And Alan, where should we be looking out for you online, in print, elsewhere?
You can find me on Twitter at Seppenwall. I'm in Rolling Stone every month reviewing that month's most interesting new TV. I'm also obviously on RollingStone.com. I've got several books, but I already plugged one, so I won't do the rest now. And I have a new podcast debuting in January, the circumstances of which are still top secret, but it should be dropping in the middle of the month, and it's very fun.
Waiting with bated breath. But the biggest congratulations today go to Heather. Heather, you're moving on to the season 2 finale. Ooh. Competition's going to get even stiffer as we move through the ranks. So what are you going to be watching in the meantime? Maybe fill in a few of those blind spots.
I mean, I feel like we've learned my blind spots are basically anything before the 80s. So I'm going to have to be doing some deep diving. But again, as usual, I need to tell you what my blind spots are. I need to be better about lying about it. So we're going to say the shows of the CW, huge blind spot. Don't touch them.
Excellent, Heather. And where can our listeners find you? What can you plug?
My cohort, Jessica Morgan, and I have a website called Go Fug Yourself. It's Fug, F-U-G, like as in fugly, where we talk about bad celebrity fashion. Not a lot of that right now because no one's going anywhere, but we're doing a lot of retro stuff. We've done a lot of old premieres from the 90s, the aughts, the 80s. It's been actually pretty fun. We also wrote some books together, The Royal We, its sequel, The Air Affair. And you can find us on Twitter at Fug Girls, F-U-G-G-I-R-L-S.
Excellent. And listeners, you can follow Heather as the serious face with symbols covering mouth emoji as she continues on through the season 2 bracket. Well, that'll wrap it up for this week. Be sure to join us next week for the Physical Media Division Finals, featuring Tim Grierson from the Grierson Leach podcast, Chris Sims from War Rocket Ajax, and Linda Holmes from NPR's Pop Culture Happy Hour. I've been your host, Taylor Cole, and on behalf of Scoremaster Dan and Production Master Dave, thank you for listening to the Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show. Hey, listeners, remember Dan's riddle from before the lightning round? If you think you know that answer, find the link in your show notes to submit your answer. Or you can find the page for this episode at usaquizshow.com. While you're there, make sure to check out all our past episodes and check out brackets for past and future seasons.
We're always posting about the little things that didn't quite make it into the episode online on Twitter and Instagram. We're at usaquizshow on both.
The Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show is made when I wave some Scooby Snacks under the noses of our host, Taylor Cole, and our quizmaster and scoremaster, Dan Cassino. And I'm always full. I'm David T. Cole.
That
was terrible.
Thank you.
Autobots, roll out!
That is such a niche and delightful thing you can do.
So this is just when people come into the Scooby-Doo universe based on their voices.
The Scooby-Doo universe.
The Dooniverse.
The Dooniverse.
Which is different from the book and movie Dune. Which is,
Boo.
God.
Taylor, in both Fear is the Mind Killer. That's why Scooby and Shaggy are so dumb, because they're afraid.
Yeah. And there's that one episode where Velma used her killing word, and oh boy, it was grim.
But they're also both weirdly racist. I mean, I think it actually, yep, they fit.
Yeah. Oh, great. All right. Well, now that we've spiced things up a bit, let's get into it. That's the one thing I know about Dune, is that spice is involved.
Dave, that's right, bonus content. Go. Come on.